Poodle, is someone at the door at Southern Charm?
Michael, it's time for my medicine.
Come and listen to a podcast hosted by some queens.
Talking about folks living way above their means.
They all live in Charleston where the booze is always flowing.
And we know too much about them all because of Andy Cohen.
Bravo, that is.
Southern Charm.
Sweet tea.
Well, Cameron is the sweetest,
and Austin is a tool.
Shep can be a jerk,
but Chelsea's really cool.
Craig is playing lawyer.
Eliza's playing games. There's a lot of other blonde girls.
We forget their names.
Madison?
Heather Lynn?
Skimbleshanks?
It's Sweet Tea, the unauthorized Southern Charm podcast.
Olives are great.
Olives are so great.
You know,
they make you thirsty for drinks and they have no fat.
That was strikingly one of the most original things about this episode that was said.
Yeah, it's true. You know, I'm going to say my favorite part of this episode was Craig's nipple.
Oh, that tiny little nipple that kept looking at us. Every time he moved his arm, that little nipple that was just like, hey, y'all, I'm just here. Don't look at me. I'm just, I'm minding my own business. You know, I'm a nipple. But you know, if you want to look at me, I'll look at you and wink my little eyes at you. Oh, I'm a cutie. I'm tiny. I'm a tiny little nipple. Who there?
It was attractive to me until you did the voice. Now I'm thinking of you.
Hey there, boy, you guys. I'm just sitting here on the side of his chest.
Oh Lord, you sound like the pedophile from Family Matters.
No,
Family
it's very. It's supposed to be like an older woman. That's what it's supposed to say.
You're right. I miss the nuance.
Yeah, exactly. You did. All of my accents are very specific.
Yeah.
All of my voices.
Yo, welcome to Sweet Tea. This is Southern Charm.
Welcome to Sweet Tea.
It is Sweet Tea with Reality, guys. We want to remind you, this is episode 2 of the finale, Something in a Treehouse.
Treehouse of Tedium, or Treehouse of Terror, or terrorized by emotional treehouses or something.
Or you all are too old to be climbing in a treehouse. Maybe that. Before we jump into this little specific shout out, we want to remind people that so there is going to be a reunion. Looks like there's going to be a two-part reunion. Some of the footage looked good, though. Did you see Catherine getting all and she was getting all angry? She was like, this bitch has been gone, but she's back.
Everyone looks terrible.
They look
like the men look bad. Everyone dressed like they came right out of Andy Cohen's closet.
Why do Shep, Craig, and Austin all look like they've gained 20 pounds?
I don't know what's happening.
But like,
everyone looks awful.
Maybe everybody's been in quarantine just drinking and they're all alcoholic. I guess.
Danny looks questionable. She's so brown.
I thought she looked better. I thought she looked less thin in her wonky eye fix.
She looked better, yeah. Well, so, I think they fixed the Botox that went wrong.
Yeah, they fixed the Botox. So anyway, hey, I've been there. I can't fault you.
Madison has tanned herself finally into questionable territory.
So clearly we're going to have thoughts on the reunion, y'all. So after the reunion of this year, if and when Southern Charm comes back again, we're going to be moving this podcast to our Reality Gaze feed. So just know that, you know, whatever, a year from now when
Carl, my Southern Charm's back, but they're not doing it.
Well, we are.
Where are my gays, Carl?
Where are my gays, Carl?
I call them my gays because I don't know anybody gay in real life.
Well, I did know that one guy who went to our church. He sang real pretty, but then he died.
God knows of what.
Southern story. So anyway, we just want to remind you. We'll keep reminding you. We just want to keep reminding you that you're going to have to subscribe to the Reality Gaze feed for that. If you don't have to listen to all the other shit on it, but
it's good content. Y'all, if you're not watching Night at Beyonce, you should be. Join the movement.
Join the movement.
Anyway,
that's it. That's it. I don't think do we have any other announcements? I don't think we do.
Y'all, if you want to join, we're having a blast doing Bling Empire, but this last episode about killed me. Hopefully, yeah. We only have one more to go. You know what's keeping me going with Bling Empire on our Patreon? Our guests that we're having. We're having special guest podcasters and friends and stand-up comedians to talk about this. And these are usually, yeah, everyone's been, you know, everyone's been like AAPI person who we're going to talk about these issues. And what we basically decide is this is not a show basically where Asian people can say, oh yeah, I can feel like I'm being represented here. No, this is a show about wealth. As Melanie Maras says, it's totally, wow. Yeah, this is a show about wealth who just happened to be Asian.
It's true.
So if you're Asian out there and you're going, oh, finally some representation.
Yeah.
In reality shows.
Ooh.
Yeah. But Crazy Rich Asians, it ain't.
It ain't. But we're excited because tomorrow, y'all, we're interviewing Margaret fucking Cho.
We just said it.
Motherfucking Cho.
Our best get. I think we got Teresa Caputo.
Yeah. But I mean, but Teresa Caputo's. Well, I know. I think a lot of gays do love her. But y'all, like, we've been to Margaret Cho's show. So
yeah, we're fans. We're fans.
We're very big fans. And we're very excited.
We put it out on our we were talking to our kind of representative at our agency. And she was like, well, Margaret Cho's has a podcast. It's on hiatus right now. But, you know, we could reach. I was like, oh, sure. I'm sure it'll work out. I'm sure she's dying to do a show with two gay guys. How novel for her. And so we didn't hear anything about it. And then we kind of stacked guests for the rest of the shows. And like 3 days ago, she's like, incoming from Margaret Cho's people. Be careful. Just respond when you see it. I was like,
yeah. And then they confirmed again today. Way professional. So we're,
I don't know what I'm going to do.
I don't know what I'm going to do either. I just know that we're excited. It's going to be awesome. And what a wonderful podcast pinnacle for us. But fuck that show right now, because we're talking about
Southern
shitty entitled Southern people.
God. I've decided, before we even get started, I want to weigh in, because you know how I love doing this. I want to weigh in on one of the biggest controversies this season.
Yeah.
Because I've thought about it today in a different way than I have before.
Okay.
There is a lot of, so, you know, you guys, Leva, of course, if you watch the show, Leva is a new cast member this year. Mm-hmm. She was Cameron Eubanks's friend. That mm-hmm. was how she kind of was brought to the show. Then she mm-hmm. kind of, I think that's the only person she knew before the show. I believe she kind of knew Madison in an oblique way, but she did not know anyone else.
No.
And that's kind of the problem that people have had with her, is that a lot of times in these reality shows, you kind of have to do your time before you come in and start having opinions. You have to become like a secondary cast member before, or people kind of have to know you. And
because Danny, to your point, Danny was a secondary cast member, and then we got to know her, and then she became a full-time cast member. And Leva, we like saw her maybe once or twice.
Yeah, I don't even know if that. I don't
we
even know
her maybe like once, and we wasn't in. Yeah, we didn't see hardly any of her.
And I think they've tried. The producers have tried to kind of make her a linchpin. But the problem here, and I figured it out, I don't think she gives a fuck about any of these people.
Leva?
Yeah.
No. Oh, no.
Yeah. And
no.
I think that's one of the reasons that people think why she's only here to start fights with people. Even though she's right every time she's talking, but what if you don't have any dogs in this fight, as we say? Why are you here?
Yeah, I don't think she has dogs in the fight. I agree.
If she's only
kind of like Vanita, who's like who had more opinions this episode, and I get it, she's black, so she clearly, and Leva's husband is black.
Leva's husband's black.
So I get that they have a personal connection to the fight. That I understand, but I'm like, Catherine's not your friend.
Why are you trying to save these people?
Because normally, and maybe that's just because she's on the show, because normally in life, like, Vanita was way nicer than I would have been like, fuck this racist bitch. I don't know her. I don't want to talk to her. Bye.
Yeah. I mean, it's the nature. It's the problem with these shows that we bring together these people who seem like, quote unquote, friends. And obviously, Leva's not friends with these people.
Mm-hmm.
She's friends with Vanita's Madison's friend. And I guess she's kind of had to be allies with Leva. So they're kind of friends. Danny definitely does not like Leva. So obvious.
I think after this episode, we realized Madison is really friends with no one.
Can you say that again? And I'd like to replay that and put that in the beginning of this episode.
Madison just friends with no one, but I love her.
Really? You're doubling down on that.
I stand by it.
Okay. Well, I'll get your comments later on.
Okay.
What do you think about her calling Austin a beta? Do you find that language problematic?
She's intelligent.
No, you know what that comes from, right? Alpha, beta males talking about some men aren't real men. Masculinity, toxic masculinity. She's using that in terms of her.
But her hair's so pretty.
Yeah, you need to sit and process that because she's a terrible person. I actually feel super validated because I've felt grossed out by her from the beginning. Then I was kind of warming up to her. And now I'm totally just bleh. I think she's a gross human being.
Talk about it.
Okay. What do you think about that theory? Because she has gotten from the Southern Charm faithful, Leva has gotten a lot of hate. However, she does have defenders saying she's exactly right. She's calling out Catherine on what she should be. However, does she have the collateral to do it? Because obviously, really, the only time you can really do that in a reality show setting is when you have some type of allegiance to these people. Catherine has zero allegiance to Leva or any of these people other than Danny.
I think I don't care. That's why, the saddest part to me of this whole thing is everybody keep, y'all, we still, this show ended and Danny still didn't get to talk to Catherine on her own. That's all Danny wants is just to fucking talk to Catherine on her own. And honestly, that's the only conversation I'm interested in seeing with Catherine, because you're right that none of these other people are friends. So in the words of
Poodle, there's no allegiance.
Who gives a shit?
Who gives a shit? That's why this episode was such a fucking mess. And you know who was the hero of this episode? Strangely enough, good Lord, Craig.
Craig usually is.
Really?
Craig is usually right.
Well, yeah, but he said such problematic things.
I feel like he didn't even need to really apologize to Danny. I think he just did that. At least from the edit we saw, I was kind of like, well.
Yeah.
But he did interrupt the conversation. But let's actually talk about specifics of the show.
I wanted to talk about that because we can argue over who's right. Is Leva right? Or is Leva a bully? Blah, blah, blah. Is Catherine a racist? The answer of all those things is who cares? Yes, she's a racist. Yes, or no, she's not. But why the fuck do you even care? You don't like her. You don't know her. You are here for the show. And you are a terrible plant.
It's kind of like when Whitney is on the show now, even though Whitney's friends with them. But it's like he's old historical friends and he doesn't hang out with any of them anymore.
Nope.
So when he was in them trying to have meaningful conversations, it just feels like you're just watching a reenactment of the past or just something that feels so phony.
There's no stakes to it. There's no stakes to relationships like these. Because if they have a fight, who cares?
No one.
Anyway, so let's continue.
The party's in full action. They're beginning to
party.
The party. They're all outside. They're Shep and Taylor out on a boat. Whitney shows up and they're like, hey. And he's like, Craig, you look good showing up the arm game. And Craig's like, well, I took all the amphetamines out of my life. And so now I ain't a little weight. And I was like, well, that's real.
I think I don't know if he was being metaphorical. Or he was talking about not taking amphetamines anymore.
Maybe Craig stopped doing coke.
Coke is not classified ketamine, but yeah.
I know, but I think he was insinuating.
And the nipple's like, well, I just do what I'm told. You know, I'm just going to.
The nipple wasn't in the shot. The nipple wasn't in the shot. You can't bring the nipple in when the nipple's not there.
I'm just going to sit here. Well, you know, I can still talk to him behind a shirt. Oh, I just want to pick my. I want to be free.
Oh, God. So
anyway, we see Pringles, hairy chest, and they keep calling. I'm concerned by the way we throw around the term dad bod because I don't even know what it is. Is it Shep who has a little bit of a beer gut?
It's Shep. It's not Pringle. A dad gut, to my knowledge, dad bods do not have arms. Dad bods by definition.
Said arms.
Sorry, I was thinking about Craig.
Venus de Milo.
Dad bods don't have abs. My understanding of the dad bod, but y'all come at us.
It doesn't matter what your understanding is. They're using it for two different things.
But there's a definition that they're getting wrong. The dad bod is supposed to be like a guy who's worked out. He played football. He's got broad shoulders. He's got kind of nice, thick arms. He's got a little bit of fur on his chest. He likes to listen to a little bit of Tim McGraw on Friday nights, and then he drinks some whiskey, and then he might like go down on you for like an hour and tell you that he loves you. And then
that's not a dad bod.
Where am I? Where am I?
A dad bod is like a little gut. It means the opposite.
Sorry, I got distracted when I said big arms. It does mean somebody who's kind of worked out and maybe was once fit, and now they're kind of like out of shape, but they have a little bit of a belly.
Is there a prerequisite that you have to be in shape before you get a dad bod? I thought
like
I don't know if you're right. I thought it was just like it was just like the opposite of like a really toned tan body. And because dads have them. You have a dad bod, which is like, and it's also in a weird like kind of like in some ways it's kind of affirmative.
I think it's supposed to be affirmative. Honestly, I'm going to say something because there's actually in the Washington Post, a dad bod flow chart.
Yeah.
You and I have dad bods.
Thanks. I'm not a dad.
Well, you are fucking a young dentist.
How dare you? He is in his 20s, y'all. But I haven't seen him. I haven't seen him.
But yeah, like, but Christmas. You graduated high school after he was born.
So? He's in his 20s. It's fine.
So you could be his father.
No. Oh, I could. I kind of could.
Yeah.
I have a youthful energy, though.
But if you had a child at 20, you could be.
We need to move on. I don't like this. I do not like this.
Okay, dad bod.
I am. You're talking about dad bod. At least I don't have hair on my shoulders.
I don't care.
Ugh.
Some people go through puberty and their balls drop.
men shave their shoulders.
I'm not doing that.
Anyway. So we're kind of Leva, Vanita, and her crew. They're calling Pringle over, and they're like, and they're still saying, they're almost trying to get something out of him. Like they are there to confront Catherine. That's the whole purpose.
Yes, they're there to confront Catherine, and also honestly, y'all can come at me if you want. I think it's mean girl and I think it's gross. Grant, and it's not because what they want to confront her about is how they're going about doing it. It does feel like they're ganging up on her to me. And if you're upset with somebody, I get it. Have your feelings, be upset. But also, if you're at a party and you see someone not giving them the cold shoulder, not even acknowledging their existence. I get you're upset, but you can say, hey, and walk. You don't have to be an out and out dick to someone.
Yeah. They were mean girl her pretty bad.
And that's kind of been a lot of times my problems with Leva is Leva will, She sometimes plays both sides of the coin because she's nosy and she wants to get information, and she is playing the role of what she knows she needs to play on this show. But it doesn't feel often authentic at times. You know, I think there's a difference of like, I think probably Leva as a person in real life, I probably wouldn't really enjoy hanging around and being with, but Leva as a device on the show does feel super inauthentic.
And you said it, I feel like she's being used as a woman of color device. That's exactly what it
that's
feels
exactly
like
what
being
I think.
Used
and
by.
I, because that's the only reason that nobody in Southern Charm history has just suddenly become a cast member on the show. It's that, oh, they realize we have a race problem on this show because Charleston, South Carolina has a race problem and an inequity in race. And there's only rich white people for us to cast. So that's who we cast.
Yeah. And it,
I
and
know
it
there's would, rich people of color in Charleston, but I'm just saying.
And it would, make sense. And it made sense when Eliza Limehouse got cast. Cause you know, she was friends with all them and all those people. And she, at least the stakes weren't high to have a friendship with her.
Yes.
To have a friendship with Leva because of what Leva's going to talk to you about, the stakes are going to be really high.
And it actually made it the best part of this episode. Is, sorry, y'all. We should probably keep going through it more. But we'll get to it. We'll talk about it later. But I just wanted the kind of only real compelling part of this whole episode was Danny and Catherine's talk. And that's about it for me. But we'll get into that, talk about that when we get there. We should. Yeah. So they're all kind of mingling at the party. And then, so Craig even talks about to Whitney and saying like, Catherine said shit I didn't know. He was talking to Shep about it. And Shep, and they're all kind of like, ooh. And
yeah, then when she says basically like, when she sends a tweet or the direct message to the reporter, to the black reporter, saying you don't even know who your father is, you're using your own some kind of minority thing, and you know
minority
this
privilege.
Is all shitty, awful, racist stuff, that's you guys,
and
it needs to be called out.
That's outwardly racist. That's not so. But meanwhile, Madison's trying to impress Austin. Austin's trying to avoid her. Austin and Shep go to the treehouse. They're out there having
a
beer.
Weird thing to say.
And then Madison gets a text, y'all. He's been fucking some girl like those dolphins out in the ocean, just fucking.
And this is when she turns into like trailer trash. All of a sudden, she's just like going to like go to the next trailer over where her ex-boyfriend is. Mm-hmm. And she's going to yell at him for fucking some other girl, even though they're not together anymore. And it's just the oldest trope. Uh-huh. And then she calls him a beta. And it's such problematic language. She's
Hold on. Let's go. You're just going. You haven't even told them what it's about. Basically, she gets this text. Austin fucked. Her friend asked her, are you fucking this Austin still? Because if you are, he had sex with like a friend of a friend, and shows her a picture and kind of provides the receipts. This happened while they were not together. So I just want to say they're broken up.
She had a choice to make. She could have said, I'm going to start flirting with Pringle even more. Yep. Or she can go show her ass and sound a Wayne's World version of a psycho hose beast. And she called him a psycho ex-boyfriend.
Yes.
This sounds like psycho ex-girlfriend talk.
Yes. So she instead chooses to go to the treehouse and basically starts yelling at him. And what is really gross about Madison?
I love that kind of talk from you.
I was teasing earlier. I do think she actually is still beautiful, and I love her hair and her makeup and her style. But I also think she is one of those people, like we say all the time, hurt people, hurt people. And this bitch has some damage. She is hurt. And what is gross about Madison? She knows she doesn't really have anything to stand on with Austin. She literally just goes over there to honestly verbally abuse him as a person. And and basically she wants to yell at him and strip away any humanity he has about himself.
Yeah, it's really fucking gross.
And that's her pattern. Like, she always talks about, quote, his small dick. Anything that can emasculate him, she's going to do.
And she uses all of this masculine language for
herself. It's really gross. And it's really fucked up.
And it's not that it's the language when men use it is gross, but the fact that
I'm not more upset because she's
gross out of the fact that she's using it in a way to justify this kind of keep this kind of language going in this setting is gross.
Like, she does call, like you said, she calls him the beta, and she even says, I'm the alpha, you're just a beta, and she calls him a pussy. Like,
she's basically telling him he's, number one, he's feminine, and that kind of binary for her. So she needs another alpha. She needs another guy she's going to rule with.
And she's probably upset because, y'all, first of all,
it's Pringle's like she's almost, in the 50s, y'all.
Pringle's almost drunk by this time. And secondly...
His dick's going to wilt.
And secondly, Pringle is too smart to ever get with Madison because he knows
he's aware.
She's crazy.
Yeah.
And so.
And she's mean, y'all. She's so mean.
She's actually just mean. And this is what I kind of don't like about what they have Leva do is Leva and who was it that she's with?
Vanita
Sear. And Leva says, oh, that looks like some bullying. And I want to be like,
looks like we need to get reinforcements.
You get reinforcements. And I was like, bitch. Bullying on Madison's part. Like, it's horrible. It's just, I cannot believe I'm taking up for Austin Fat Tongue.
Well, honestly, they said a lot of stupid shit this time. But boy, it's really hard to justify. It's almost impossible to justify what Madison said, and it's harder to justify what Leva and Vanita said after that.
They kind of walk up there and they stand because maybe they realize, oh, Madison
can't get up there with their shoes.
That's true. It's just horrible how she attacks her man. And Austin even says he says Madison wants to control me, and I'm like, yeah, you're right. She wants to control you, and Shep even says,
Madison, it's healthy to be with other people. Let him go.
Shep says Madison wants Austin to be like a purse that she keeps to the side and just grabs whenever she wants.
Accurate. Although it is,
and again,
really funny.
Craig's nipples hanging out and I can't focus.
I'm just here enjoying the fun.
I love to be out. We're talking in the worlds of people. Usually I'm only allowed to come out when people, and he's sewing at home, but now I'm just out with people. Hey, Leva.
I wish that nipple would get a nipple ring and shut the fuck up.
So Austin's like, this is emotional terrorism. does say that's crazy.
That's crazy, but it is. It's horrible, and it's horrible. It's horrible. It's horrible. Okay, we're clearly in it, but we're gonna take a little bit of a break, and we'll be right back.
Pringle, meanwhile, back at the hotel, inn. Have,
y'all, this is all you need to know. Pringle's talking to his sister and crying about his kids.
And he's drunk.
And he's drunk, and it's sad, but he's full on. He is drunker than Cooter Brown at this point.
Y'all, Pringle can't even mumble words. By the end of the episode, he's can't even stand up.
No, there's one part where he's just sitting on a chair asleep. Did you see that?
Yes.
He was just fully passed out.
Y'all, from where when we started this episode, we're like, John Pringle is hot. Here's the thing, y'all. John Pringle's a loser. I know that's hard to hear. He's a cute kind of guy. As I said, he would write a song for you and he'd try to fuck you, but he's also a loser.
Well, he's a really big man child for sure.
He is. He's a man baby. Pringle, I'm really disappointed in what you became. So Catherine, we see Catherine, she's putting on makeup. She's about to come. I think she looks some of the best she has this season. She's had some quite questionable looks.
The latter part of the season, she looked better, but the first part, she did not look good.
Right. But this is like a nice flowy dress.
Yeah. Don't forget
showing
the weird
off pink, the goods.
Remember the weird pink eye makeup? The like, oh, yeah.
The less said, the better.
Yeah. Y'all, so the Dolphins are fucking. Catherine shows up and she's a little bit like, they're talking about her and Catherine shows up and she's like, hi. Shep says hi to her. Danny's already walked away and Leva just kind of stands there and they're like, hi. And that's what, it just feels very two-faced. And then, but Shep does, y'all, what we have all done when we're talking about someone and they literally walk up behind us is he walks away and Shep says the classic, what was I going to say?
What was I saying? I'm just still shook from what's just happened.
If you walk in a group and as you walk away, you hear, what was I just saying?
What was I saying? They were talking about you, bitch.
They were talking about you, bitch.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It has happened. I've done it. You know y'all have done it.
It is glorious when Poodle puts his foot in his mouth because he completely is shook by
it. What was I saying? Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. I forgot. Yeah. I am. When someone shows up and it's the Sandy Duncan glass eye all over again.
All over again.
Y'all, you can find that somewhere. I was in an event with my
Michigan bar.
Yeah. And basically I was whispering to someone that Sandy Duncan was one of the stars. And I said, Sandy Duncan, she has a glass eye. And we all know I can't whisper. And Sandy Duncan turned around and says, yep, it's this one, and pointed at it. And I was mortified.
Wow.
Yeah.
If you ever tell that story to your mother, can I be there to see it?
I think she'd be so embarrassed. Actually, she'd probably think it was funny and given some time. So basically,
you know what? Sandy Duncan looks great.
She does. She was recently a judge on Law and Order SVU. She looks great. Good.
And so her one eye is totally fake.
Yes. Glass eye.
You know, she kind of looks like,
oh no.
She looks like, the woman from, Shark Tank.
Carolyn. Is that her name? I don't know what her name is. Oh, she does kind of. I know who she is. Yeah, I know that woman. But no, Sandy Duncan's a lot prettier than that woman.
Yeah. Good for Sandy Duncan.
we're proud for you. Aside from the two dark, the dolphin fucking thing is like the worst game of telephone ever. It's like someone says, oh my God, it's a shark. Someone says, is that a shark eating another dead shark? No, it's a shark eating a dolphin. Oh my God, is that a dolphin? No, it's a shark. No, it's a dolphin. It's two dolphins. Oh my God, is it a dolphin eating another dead dolphin? Oh my God, no, it's two dolphins. Is that dolphin fucking that shark? Is that dolphin fucking another dolphin? Can we go catch it with rods? It was awful.
I'm gonna go catch it. The rod broke.
Y'all, usually when you see a fin, especially in that part of the Atlantic Ocean, it's dolphins. When I was growing up, we would see fins all the time. And of course, as children, we would go, it's a shark. And as my mother would always say, it's a dolphin. Really? I was always shamed for any time.
Well, she wanted you to stay in the water and keep playing so she didn't have to deal with you.
Jay Bird, go out there. That is a dolphin, not a shark.
And she tells probably your father, I don't care if it is a shark.
As long as I don't have to hear his voice again.
I need a break.
For 20 minutes.
I need to eat some Reese's Pieces in quiet so he didn't try to eat them all.
Pour me some more Martini and Rossi.
Martini and Rossi. So basically she's there and Madison is like, Madison's kind of like, she says, you know, they're not saying hi to everybody. All these women aren't saying hi to her. That's not how I roll. And so she's saying hi to Madison. Pringle is drunk.
And Madison's like, I'm not going to deal with this shit. Everyone just needs to let go of it. Now, the
Pringle
weirdly
does some cheers. He's a drunk cheers.
Weirdly, Madison is playing both sides here because she's basically saying Kevin doesn't have to apologize for anything.
Well, that's later on. You're jumping the gun.
But no, I'm just saying that's her opinion.
Well, that was later when she's already mad, but they're sitting down to dinner and she sits by Catherine and she asks her, she says, have you heard about the article?
Right. With Caleb.
Which is just talking about that Catherine is just with him for publicity with Caleb Rabinell, who's a black man. And Catherine kind of says, they're whispering, but she's like, you know, I just like him. That's why I haven't told people about it, because I don't want what people would think about it.
Yeah. Madison says, I don't want you to feel ganged up on, though.
And Catherine says a great line in like her testimonial. She's like, you know what? I just want to talk about it because they go all in. I don't care. They go in on their shit and they can write whatever on their Instagram. And I thought, I'm kind of taking that as a mood.
I will say, y'all, she's problematic. She said a lot of racist stuff. But she can come up with a good line occasionally.
She's great TV. But Madison says, I don't want you to feel ganged up, Don. So if you feel bad, let them know and tell them. She kind of says that.
Yeah.
And then that's when Catherine says hi to Madison, too. She switches seats. Madison 1.
Madison 2. Yeah.
Switches seats to Madison 2. And Madison 2 sits by Catherine.
And so then I think Vanita, or not yet, but they're eating shrimp and grits, y'all, which are delicious, which I'm sure these looked good. And Vanita even says, this shrimp and grits are delicious when people start fighting.
She does say that.
So Leva already is trying to kind of broach conversation, you guys, even in dinner. And it was so awkward. It was cringy. And Leva says, last time I saw you, I just felt disrespected and triggered. This felt like a fucking housewives moment.
Yeah, she said, you walked up and I felt disrespected. And I was like,
this is
disrespecting about that?
It either was written for her or she felt she needed to say that. I don't know.
Austin kind of jumped in a little bit. And then they...
And they're fighting. And she's like, I found you disappointing. And blah, blah, blah. And he does apologize. It's not a great apology, y'all.
Austin, it's not. He just does it to do it. But she's upset because Austin called her a bully. I don't have the right word for it. It's not bullying what she... Leva has not bullied Catherine. Catherine is totally in the wrong. But there is, like you call, I don't know the word for it, but it is what you said where it just feels, it almost feels weirdly, I know Leva has a right to do it because her family, but it feels almost invasive.
It's just self-righteousness. It's all, she wants to be a crusader for something, but to be a fighter for what's right, you have to have some skin in the game. She has none. This is not how reality shows work.
It's almost as if that she feels like a duty up. I'm going to teach Catherine what's right.
Yep.
And that to me is just.
That's not the worst part of activism, you guys.
It's not interesting to me as far as reality TV. And it is a little bit. It's like, especially as we talk about these things with race, I don't think, I don't know how far you're going to get with people you don't have an emotional, I don't know. It's just emotional connection with this. But anyway, who wrote this? I wrote, somebody says, when Leva said disrespected, I honestly, personally, y'all, I get really triggered when people say they are not respected.
Well, she says that a lot about Austin and about people. Leva feels disrespected a lot.
I'm telling y'all, people that use the word and say, I'm not being respected a lot, A, probably aren't that respectful to other people, and B, they have
think they're owed respect.
We all are owed respect, but there's a little bit of like you said, self-righteousness to that. That I'm just saying, if you're friends with somebody who's like, they don't respect me, that friend probably gets in fights and arguments a lot, I bet.
I feel like it's not even that I don't think respect should be owed to her, but there's a big difference between showing someone respect and deferring to someone always.
Yes.
And making sure their statement is the most important one at the table.
Yes.
Because I feel like she's used to that. That's the role she's playing on the show anyway.
Yes. So I'd
as like some to kind of arbiter of what's right.
Yes. And then the kind of the more interesting part of the show happens of I want to play not a point counterpoint, but more of like a kind of critical analysis, shall we say, of because Danny or Catherine and Madison too go to the treehouse to talk. And I kind of almost want to juxtapose that against the conversation between Danny and Catherine of honestly, and I don't mean this as it's somebody's responsibility, but how you don't get anywhere with Catherine and how you can start to get somewhere with Catherine. Because y'all, Catherine's got a lot of, I think Catherine probably has, obviously she's had a lot of trauma, and I think probably she has some, probably some mental issues. And we know, so anyway, so Danny or Catherine and Madison go talk in the treehouse.
And I want to just reiterate what you just said. And it's not that, as Leva says, we have to coddle Catherine. The problem is Catherine's an addict. And she's not going to be changed by anything we can do. We have to, like Danny knows, you have to lead her to water before she will understand. Yes, if she was my friend, I would have completely given up on her a long time ago. Such is not the case. She's in the show.
She's in the show, and it's Danny's choice to be friendship with her. And there's this look, it's not anybody's we're not saying that if you want to talk to someone about racism, especially if you're someone who is black to talk about or of color to talk about racism. It's not, you don't need to get
it's not
to
your job to
level.
Teach anyone.
It's not your job to teach anyone at all. But that, again, you really nailed it. That's the problem is that when you have an emotional connection with someone, I believe that if I want to talk to someone about racism, and I have. Like, I've had conversations with my own father about things in the past. I have to first stop and see how my father sees the situation and why that makes sense to him if I want to get to him to be able to speak to him about why that's problematic. Because if
put
I
yourself
say,
in someone else's shoes
if
first.
I just say to my father, Dad, this is wrong. You shouldn't say this. I agree with that. We should be able to say, you guys, this is just racist. And everybody should go, oh, you're right. It's, sadly, we don't live in that type of political landscape right now. If you truly want to talk to someone and make change, you have to see their other side.
Yeah.
And Madison, too, and Catherine's, this was just Madison wanted to be heard, Catherine wanted to be heard, and I kind of felt like they both weren't listening to each other, right?
No, Madison just said, Madison didn't want any, just said, I just want this to be done. Let's just go talk about it. Madison didn't even want to talk.
No, Madison too in the treehouse.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
We're talking about that. We're not to Madison's blow up yet.
I think Madison too is trying to say how she feels to Catherine. But also, she's not asking the right. She's not leading Catherine like Danny is. She's not saying, but don't you think that makes you blah, blah, blah? Because Madison, too, is basically just telling her how she feels and then telling her what she's done wrong.
Yeah.
And that would be a normal approach if two people were very close.
Yes. Should Madison too have to speak to Catherine the way Danny does and kind of have leading questions to get Catherine to think? No, that is not her responsibility. She shouldn't do that at all. But y'all, we know who Catherine is. That I think that's the problem a little bit with this is that it's racism aside, just the way Catherine interacts with the world, she's a narcissist.
Yeah.
If you want to speak to a narcissist to have empathy, you've got to speak their language first. You can't just talk at them because they're a narcissist.
Yeah. You have to use a lot of you and I think you, blah, 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 and you and you and you. And as soon as you can get a narcissist to agree with you and they will agree with you and then they will defend you about it. If you have convinced them that you are putting yourself in their shoes completely, then they will, they can understand you.
That's totally fucked up. And you guys, if you just heard that and went, wait, that's how I talk to my spouse all the time, you should probably break up with them, because that's probably not a good
let's not tell people break up with their spouses.
You can tell them
to maybe re-examine your relationship.
Break up, end it now, get out of the bed right now, say fuck you, Dylan, I'm done with this shit.
The views of Matt Maher do not represent the views of Reality Gays. I can see it now. Yo, I left my husband because Matt told me to. Because he only wanted to order in Chipotle on Friday, and I don't like Chipotle.
I like it. Wasn't listening to my feelings. So anyway, Madison basically... Now, Madison agrees. Catherine has minimized Madison's feelings. But you guys, you cannot expect a whale to swim through a storm drain. Like, it's that was a weird analogy, but you've got to see the whale for the whale. And guess Catherine is going to minimize
the whale from the storm drain. You mean the whale?
The whale, yeah.
There, like, thank you. Just like put a diphthong in there.
Like a swimming whale.
Thank you. You just said whale, like W-L-L.
No, I mean whale, like Pinocchio and the whale. Anyway, y'all, the whole point of that is that.
Please tell me what the point is.
That is who Catherine is. So they basically have this... they basically have this conversation. Meanwhile, Danny and Craig, it's pretty, Danny says, this is why I kind of like Danny and Craig's relationship, because Danny says, okay, Craig, I'm ready. Where's my apology? Like, she says she's ready for it, and Craig's like, I was wrong. I could have acted different. The problem is I only heard Catherine's side.
Yeah. This is the difference between someone like Madison too and Catherine. They're not really friends.
Yeah.
Craig and Danny are actual friends. They've been doing the show long enough. They've spent enough time together. You guys, that's the thing. You might say, oh, they're not really friends. The point is they've had to film. They've had to go on location. They've had to be at these reunions with each other. So in a way, they have relationship collateral. Leva, Vanita,
Madison two, even
Madison one. There is no real relationship between these people.
No.
Because I guarantee you in real life, Madison one is quite removed from their friend group. I think she's all about the filming.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Maybe her and Vanita are friends in real life, but like...
Maybe. I think Madison's got ice water in her veins.
That's true. Yeah. So that is different. Whereas Danny, poor Danny, just wants to have a conversation with Catherine. And I really feel like they're getting to this where like, y'all, this is fucked up. But what Danny has just had to say to Catherine is, I just don't think you understand that when you say, I'm sorry, that goes a long way and people need to hear that. You guys, Catherine.
But a narcissist understands that.
A narcissist, she doesn't even think of what it would say to her if somebody says, I'm sorry, what that would do for them or what she has done. And so Danny literally is, I mean, it's such
she's the Catherine whisperer.
She is. And honestly, no wonder she's exhausted. But again, all this goes back to if you choose to be in a relationship with this person, you've chosen to be in the relationship with this person.
Yeah.
If you don't want them to act this way, then don't be friends with them.
And then there's are we to the point where Madison?
Now you can talk about Madison sitting at the table and she's just getting pissed.
I'm done with it. I'm going to go down there and I'm going to fix this. I'm going to bring her back here so y'all can like, tell her and y'all can have a conversation. Now,
like, this is running in circles
because they're kind of ruining her party. So she's tired of, and I guess she thinks that
she's not the center of attention anymore.
Yeah. And so I assume that she thinks that, or even Leva, Vanita and Madison too, think that if they talk to Catherine, reason with her, that all this can be fixed.
But Vanita says she's not a woman, she's a child. Catherine does behave like a child.
Right. So why are we trying? It's like So Madison goes down and says, hey, I don't want, I'm just going to just sit here for a hot second. And I think the girls really want to talk to you. It's the worst.
This is when, by the way, when Pringle is full on asleep in the lawn chair. Full on asleep. And so, and it's true because she comes in right when Catherine's about to open up and actually have a conversation. And Danny's kind of calmed Catherine down.
Yeah.
And she's like, I just feel like the girls are all talking about you. You just need to go up there and speak her mind. And then Madison's got really fucked up ideas about masculinity and femininity and what's a strong woman.
You're not a weak woman.
Yeah, she's like, you're not a, you go up and stand up for yourself and you tell them, I just don't want you to look weak and you just need to tell them, you need, if you need to tell them. And then Madison says, you need to tell them you did nothing wrong at all. And I was kind of like,
I know.
Wait a minute.
What's Madison, going on?
You're the one that's supposed to be good friends with a black woman named Benita. Are you a fucking racist too? Because Catherine did do something wrong.
She did. But I think for Madison, the real problem here is the optic that she didn't act like she did nothing wrong.
Yes. And poor Danny just kind of says very nicely, because Danny knows Catherine, I don't think that's a good idea. And she, sadly, Danny is already immediately protecting Catherine because she knows she needs to. And she's saying that's not a good idea. And Madison's like, well, I think it is. And basically, that's, she said, well, I forgot what she said to Danny, but Danny was just like, you're a bully.
That's Madison off. And she's like, why do you even care?
Madison said, you know, you're always going to stand up for her. That's all you do. And when she says
her ass,
she knows that's what Madison is great at when she's fighting. Honestly, someone who's that way, but I can be that way when I'm fighting. I know exactly what to say to like get you.
Yeah, door. I know.
Oh, please. We've never really fought. But you've seen me be mad at other people. So, but that's what Madison did with Danny. She said, you're always going to stand up for her. And she's basically, and that's, you see Danny kind of physically react like she's going to throw up. Yeah. Almost. She kind of heaves.
Madison tells Catherine, tell these girls you're innocent. Yeah. And I'm just like, what?
And Danny's
what
like,
what's happening?
And that's when Danny's like, look, this is a problem with Madison. Madison attacks people's personhood, not their actions.
Danny, that's a great way to put that.
Danny says, you're a bully. Madison says, you're a rat. Yep. That has nothing to do with all of that. And Danny says, no, this is a behavior you do not want. And Madison's like, well, her friends are running about her 24/7. You're just stupid trash. And you've got your face up her ass. I mean, just goes.
Yeah, this is, y'all, she's such a gross person. She is venal. She is all about hurting the other person.
She is, honestly, it's a different form of, it potentially a different form of being a sociopath. But this is almost like, the way Madison is, But she's not, because Madison will have empathy. It almost reminds me of, like, you know, somebody, y'all, sorry, we're diagnosing a lot, but whatever. I'm a fucking therapist. I can. It's almost borderline. Borderline people like to collect people. And they love them. And then when they love them, they love them. But then when that person can't do anything for them, or they're not the center of that world, they throw them out like trash. Who does that remind you of?
Oh, I know a lot of people like that.
But that's Madison.
Mm-hmm. So later on, they do go inside because it starts raining. Madison starts fighting with Danny again. And even all the other women are just like, what is happening? What is even happening?
Catherine, Danny just want to say, we were in the middle of a conversation. And Pringle even says, you guys are bullying her again.
Well, he does. He's like, yeah.
You guys are bullying her. And they're like, I like it when you're drunk. And he's like, no doubt, no doubt.
It's like, no doubt, no doubt. And I liked it when Pringle's like, well, you guys, and then Craig says, relax, let's go upstairs.
Let's go upstairs. Look.
Can you take your pants off and I can give you a massage?
Yeah, Austin. Austin, can I rub your smooth shoulders?
Oh, you do love that boy often.
Oh God.
I'm now covered up by a shirt, but boy, that meaty Tibet tongue really gets me going, I tell you what.
I am not a fan of Craig's nipple now. What's happened, y'all, is that Danny has calmed Catherine down and got Catherine into a place where she feels safe to talk. And Catherine actually says to Pringle, I don't think I'm being bullied. I think this is right. A good thing. I feel good about this. And let's sit down and talk about it. And they have this conversation. And
what do you think about this? I have thoughts, and they may be different than what you think.
Well, Madison comes in again and interrupts things.
Yeah, but mine are a little cynical about this, but go ahead.
It feels, again, so like there's two sides of me. There's the side of me, the kind of rational side, and the side that's me that's kind of grown up and I'm more of an adult. And I think this is fucking stupid that we have to have this conversation with this narcissistic person who said some racist shit. And we just need to own that they said this shit and either accept that she's fucking racist or move the fuck on. So there's that part of me. But then there's this other part of me that it felt a little, they wanted this to be teachy for the show for other white people.
100%. This was an after school special.
And it felt
the last 5 minutes were an after school special.
Yeah. And it felt just, again, it would have been.
It was the most virtue signaling thing I've ever seen in my life.
It doesn't make sense. If, let's say, you guys, if Vanita and Catherine were friends, how moving would that be if Catherine actually said, or if Vanita said to her, you talked about that was hurtful to me. I'm your friend. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Catherine would see that. Instead, this was
honestly, this could have been solved. This is a weird thing to say, you guys. If Vanita and Catherine could have ever been filmed in scenes together. Now I know coronavirus. We dealt with it, but Catherine and Leva don't know each other, and Catherine and Vanita. They don't know each other from fucking Adam.
No.
You know,
and like,
that's why this has felt so misplaced the last six episodes, you guys.
Even if it was, this is next season, and let's say either Caleb is on the show or like Caleb's cousin or sister or whatever in his life confronts Catherine about it. That's different because she's dating him. There's a little bit of skin in the game here. Yeah. But it's like and even then, it's a bad after school special because I want to say, if you want to teach people, and this is coming as a white person,
you don't shame them.
Who's definitely come about my own privilege, and definitely even realized I'm still working on being an anti-racist and even being with someone who's black, and put it on my read stuff. I'm doing this class thing right now. Like, we do shit like this because we get that. But the thing is,
it takes more than reading Between the World and Me, y'all.
It's true, which is really good. Read
which
it.
Which is fantastic.
Which is fantastic. I said fantastic. That word. Believe. But they, like Madison too, Catherine says, and honestly, I think a lot of people, white people, feel this way, and it's not, but Catherine says, well, how do I show people that I'm not a racist person?
How do I show people I'm not a racist person?
Exactly. And so they have this like cookie cutter, Catherine say this. And then Madison's response is, we'll do the work. And I wanted to say, if this is going to be a teachable moment, then actually tell her
what that is.
If you're going to tell her what that is, teacher, tell her what that is. Say, hey, you should read this book.
Frustrating.
You should listen to this podcast. You should go on this website and do this 21 day anti-racial thing instead of just saying, do the work.
Or
doesn't know what that is.
Or cut away from the screen and say, to find out more of ways to be anti-racist, and you can go to this website. You can do this in a Bravo sense. Instead of having Annie Cohen going, on the next reunion,
The only time it felt like it had a little bit of, but it was still, when Leva said, look, it hurt me. I'm a child. You have a child. We're both mothers.
That was the best thing in the whole episode.
That was because you know why? That was an emotional human connection. Two mothers that were speaking to it. And it's the first time Leva actually kind of saw Catherine as honestly
as a mother and a person.
And it's true, y'all. If you want to talk to someone, I believe, but this is someone as a white person trying to talk to, because I'm not talking for black people. When I talk about racism stuff, like on my Instagram and stuff, I'm like, how do I, as a white person, talk to other white people? Because that's the world I was born in.
You have to lead with empathy first.
You have to lead with empathy. And you have to not see that person as a racist. You have to see that person, yes, does racist things, is racist, but you have to see them like, where can I see them and get and come and humanize
and meet them where they are
and meet them on some plane. And that's when Leva finally did that. Well, and then the show just kind of ended.
Exactly. There was no,
like, with no finality.
I want to say too.
And this is the finale. The finale should have finality.
There was one thing. It just said 6 months later, she's still dating Caleb and she has a pregnancy test and we don't know what that means. So this was, it's almost like we'd done all this and then Andy Cohen just like fucked us again. By giving us another red herring,
which I know a lot of the reunions, they actually use the reunions more as a finale.
Yeah.
Almost, to kind of like,
when Leva made a pronouncement, she's been wanting to make the entire season. Leva says, you've spent your whole life living in a bubble of white privilege. Do you know that? And I was trying to think, how does she think Catherine's going to respond to a question like, or a statement like that? That was a question.
It's not a question. They just want to tell her who she is.
Yeah. You'll never get anywhere like that.
That's what Madison does. She wants to tell people who they are instead of listening where they're at. And you've got to do that if you want to make headroads into talking to people.
You can do the work for yourself. You can read. You can.
And again, this
talk
is all
your friends of color. Yeah. But the way you do the work with other people is meeting them on the same plane, leading with empathy, acting on the relationships you already have.
And again, this is coming from disclaimer. Now, look, some person of color don't come at us and say, you don't need to do. We're not talking about
you. We're talking about what we do.
We're talking about white people and like how we talk. So if you're somebody of color, you don't need to educate. You got to fucking go to Starbucks and fuck this shit.
I literally had a conversation with my mother over break. And we were talking about, she's like, yeah, I just don't. She's like, why do? She's like, sometimes black singers just really do way too much to say. I said, well, mom, why do you think that is? Why do you think it's just black singers? And she said, well, I just think it's just too much. I said, well, you know, it comes from a tradition of, you know, jazz singing and improvisation. So that's kind of where that comes from. And she's like, oh, I never really thought about that. I said, it's not that they're trying to make it too much. It's just, that's culturally where they come from. And
where they come from.
And just instead of judging her and saying, you're a racist, why would you say something racist like that?
No, my father said the same thing. He was saying, he was watching a football game. There was a football player with like long dreadlocks.
Yeah.
And he was like, Matt, why do they do that to their hair? He's a good looking guy. Why would he put that shit all on his head? And I said, again, instead of saying, Dad, that's racist, I said, well,
don't pull over.
I talked to him about how, like, I can't believe I actually was able to say this with my dad, but I talked to him about like in the late 60s. I said, remember when there was like the Black Power movement and everything? I said, that's when in the 60s and 70s. And I told him, I said, I don't know a ton about this, just when the little Kyle's told me, but that's when like Black Power, Black activism, and a lot of Black people kind of are reclaiming their roots, a lot of them coming from Africa. And that's where we talked about this in the Sissy Squad once, as far as names.
Yeah.
And so that's
natural hair versus
natural hair and not trying to make your hair look white and taking, you know, traditions from, if they know even what family or tribe or wherever they're from in Africa, taking those traditions and incorporating them into their life, because Dad, we know where our ancestors came from and they haven't known because they were enslaved. And my dad looked at me and he went, you know, Matt, I learned something new today. Nobody's ever explained it to me like that. That makes sense. And that, I mean,
And my mother said, yeah, I never really thought about that.
So,
and
yeah,
that's all I'm going to be able to get from her. But, you know.
Because it's so anyway, that's just kind of our experience. And again,
yep.
You might be listening to this. You might say, well, mom, dun, 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 dun. And then your mom says something racist. So fuck her. So yep. Or your dad, whatever.
But,
so,
but I'm saying that's how we, as two white men, we interact.
Yeah.
But with the family groups and the cultures and the people who we have agency in their lives.
It's not maybe the right way. It's the right way for us.
It's the white way for us. Because I honestly.
You just said the white way for us.
The white way for us. I was Austin all of a sudden. So I have no agency over someone else's life if I don't know them.
No.
And I don't have any emotional impact in their life.
No, it's been. And it's something that's important to us, even in the Sissy Squad. Like we have people from all political spectrums and things like that in the squad. And we don't tolerate racism and homophobia and things like that. And, but there's been some really beautiful moments, I feel like, in the squad where people say things not overtly racist or overtly homophobic. And some people might jump on that and they get really offended and they want to just call that person a homophobe. But then at the same time, there's other people that will not teach them, but just post an article or like explain a couple of things. And then guess what, y'all? We get a message from that person 4 months down the road that says, oh my God, my nephew just came out to me and I knew what to say. And I didn't have this negative reaction because of what I learned in the squad about gay people.
Yeah.
So it can happen.
Anyway, I think that's the show. This was, I will say, this was a shitty, shitty episode, but I had a good time discussing this with you.
Oh, should we call me? Should we call? I heard there was a nipple on this show. I love a good nipple. Oh, every time I get a nipple, I just bite it because I'm pulling, Granny.
I hope maybe 4 years down the road, no one knows who Porn Granny is.
Well, we'll see. Anyway, y'all, realitygazepodcast.com. Go to our Instagram, Reality Gaze Podcast, and our Twitter, Reality Gaze Pod. We've got a lot. We still have so much to do. We have Lolly. We have Margaret Cho. We have
tomorrow, Bling Empire, episode 8 with Margaret Cho.
We have, yes, so much to talk about, so much to do. You got to join our Patreon at the $5 tier. Although the Margaret Cho interview will be on our free feed. So I think that's about it. So y'all, you can also follow us on Cameo and all that good stuff. Come at us if you want your Civil War love letter for Valentine's Day. Poodle Boudreaux is getting her pen ready.
Yeah. I don't know why you pimp my cameos.
No, y'all, you know why I pimp it out. It's not because, yes, I mean, he makes a little money from cameos, but that's not it's because
I go all out. I
go all out. And when y'all send it to me, he'll be like in the middle of doing something. He'll go, oh, fuck, I have a cameo to do. And it makes me laugh so much.
And I do commit, and I do enjoy. I throw myself into it. Y'all, you know how I love deep character work.
Yeah. Okay. On that note, all right.
I have a whole scenario in my mind.
Okay. All right, everybody. Y'all, we appreciate y'all so much for listening. Thank you for supporting. We're gonna see you next week, the reunion. But so y'all come back now.
I'll come back now. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, now it's time to say goodbye to Poodle and to Matt, and they would like to thank you folks for listening to their chat.
You're all invited back next week, but please, before we're through, just mosey down to iTunes and leave us a review.
Poodle, you and reviews, you're shameless.
That's what they call me in college.
Y'all come back now, you hear?